Okay, Viraj Sheth.
What's up, man? How's it going?
How's your 200-day nofap challenge to yourself been?
Man, can we make some small talk first before we jump right in? How's your lockdown going?
This is the Ranveer Show. I think your lockdown has pretty much been about you and your own body parts. That's why I'm asking you. How has your 200-day nofap challenge been?
About me and my brain and me trying to exercise my willpower. It's been good, man. I actually started this nofap journey before the lockdown. So it was not a consequence of, you know, okay, cool, I'm locked up at home, so let me experiment something else. I think I was 30 or 40 days into nofap the day PM Modi, you know, hit the bell and said that, you know, we will all have to stay at home. So so that actually, you know, it was two sides of it, right? It should either have made it difficult for me to continue the nofap, because, you know, how it is, right? With the moment we are stuck at our homes and we have 24 hours to ourselves, we start touching certain body parts.
which is happening to a lot of the kids in office, actually. Yes, this is an active conversation that some of the boys in office have with each other. For those of you who don't know what nofap is by this point, it's basically abstinence, staying away from masturbation, staying away from sex. I mean, you've got to kind of stay away from sex during lockdown, but it's basically staying away from masturbating, which Viraj Sheth has done very successfully for 200 days now.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, the form of nofap I am following is that there are many forms, but basically the one I'm following.
What do you mean many forms?
I mean, certain people look at nofap as, okay, no porn, no masturbation, and, you know, sexual intercourse is all right. My version of it is, clearly because I don't have a relationship right now, it is no sex, no masturbation, no intercourse, basically. So no ejaculation of your, you know, vital fluids.
Of your cum.
Of your sperm.
Okay, nice.
Of your Viraj.
What happens? that's a running joke in office where I always told everyone that Viraj, the name Viraj, actually means semen. And Viraj is retaining his Viraj nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it's not called Viraj. Yeah, it's a version of that, but sure.
So we've done a detailed podcast with Mr. Sarvesh Shashi, who has actually been on a nofap journey for, I think, 9 years or something now. And he's already spoken about the benefits that it helps increase your focus. It helps kind of your sleep patterns. It helps your overall physical health as well. It helps your mental health and your mental fitness levels as well. Mm-hmm. But I feel when people watch a podcast of someone who's done it for 9 years, they kind of think that state of being is out of reach. That's why
true.
I wanted to do this conversation with you. You're an engineering bro. I've seen you growing up. I've seen, you know, your body parts becoming wider and bigger through the years.
Okay.
So, Viraj Sheth, at this stage of life, why did you choose to take up nofap? Is it because of the entrepreneurial pressure you have in your life? Honestly, okay, I wanna budge in here a little bit. People think that I'm a co-founder of Monkey, which I am. But the show is primarily run by this guy, by Jhalak Rawal. A lot of the pressures are on these two people. I've seen them grow as entrepreneurs. And a big part of your growth as an entrepreneur are the personal challenges you put on yourself. As in your personal life, outside of business. Yes, you have to study business better. You have to study finances better. But you also really have to level up in certain personal aspects of your life. You have to form habits that help you maximize your potential. So, did you take up nofap keeping that maximizing your potential vibe in mind? Because I've got my own tensions at Beer Biceps, and, you know, to create all these videos and to kind of balance out the bit of work I have at Monkey, I try kind of solidifying all my habits. Why did you select nofap as your way to go?
Man, honestly, a bunch of things, right? I wanted to, I'm just experimental in nature, right? And I've realized this, especially after starting the startup, that as as a person, I want to experiment with a bunch of things. And NoFap has always been this sort of a cult, movement that has been started by a lot of people in the West. It trickled down here as well. We did a bunch of podcasts on this. FitTuber has spoken about it. Sarvesh has spoken about it. And I also knew the benefits to it. Whoever practiced it has always all good things to talk about it. Whoever goes against it is, is too pro-science, And like my personal belief is that I'm neither too pro-science or neither extreme pro, occult spirituality. Like there should always be like a balance between the two. There are certain things that science, yes, has proven right. And there are many things it has not even discovered, which many of those have been sort of either explained by the Hindu books or, a lot of the religious books. And they happen to discover that. And it's both ways now. A lot of, scientific studies have also started saying that, holding back your semen, retaining your semen is actually good for health. And I was just like, let's give it a shot. What's the worst that could happen? Plus, more than anything, I wanted to practice my willpower. Because I wanted to challenge my own self and understand what is the limit I can go to. How much can I control my own emotions, my own urges, my own brain? And more than anything, that will help me. It doesn't matter if I have extra energy tomorrow because of NoFap or not. It doesn't matter if I'm, doing better off because of NoFap. My manifestation is better because of NoFap or not. What matters is I could practice my willpower and put it into implementation, because this is one of the strongest urges that humans have. Sex is one of the biggest urges that people have. And if you cannot let your mind control that side of you, there is no stopping you for anything. So that is a major reason why I went into it. And it was difficult to start with. Honestly, I have had phases where I didn't do a 200 days right from the beginning, right? I've had many phases where I've done 10 days. I've done a week, I've done 15 days, moved to a month, did 60 days, broken it, things like that. So my like two cents on that would be, don't push directly for a 200 day goal or a 500 day goal, or say that from today I will just stop it. It may not be entirely possible. Take little steps towards it and, build your willpower towards that. It's like, instead of directly going into a final championship match, play with the rookies first. Practice yourself, go one level up and then go for the finals.
I feel that a lot of people in all these meet and greets we do always ask me that, dude, how do you create that discipline within you? How do you get yourself to actually form a habit? And this is what people don't understand, that it's all these personal battles you have to select with yourself. For example, I feel even like starting to go to the gym and sticking to that process really kind of works your willpower. And if I scan my entire career, which is 5 years long, almost all the key moments in that career or the key habits that I formed in order to forward my career have originated from the world of physical fitness and the gym, where even when I was tired, I would actually push myself to go to the gym, finish my workout, come back home and then relax. I used to prioritize that physical exercise even if I was tired. So whenever you push your will against what your body is requesting you to do, I feel it actually strengthens your will a lot.
It builds your character.
It's exactly what you did. I feel like you just kind of stopped your bodily urges, tried pushing your will to a certain degree, and all this translates to a stronger willpower in your career. So on those days where maybe you have to work on a Saturday, on a Sunday, maybe you have to work way longer than the rest of your team, maybe you have to push extra hard compared to what you've already pushed in your career, you're able to do that with ease. That's what people don't understand. Pick your personal battles. And very often, when you train your body and your mind in all these internal functions, like physical fitness, it's something internal. Your muscles are inside your body. Or as Viraj's journey is about semen fitness, as I call it. He's strengthened his whole semen fitness journey. and it gives him a lot of willpower. I've always said that he's one of the most relentless guys when it comes to work ethic. He's got one of the best work ethics I've seen. I feel that when Virat Sheth entered my life...
Your life changed.
Yeah. All that semen fitness rubbed off on me. So that sounds very smudgy.
That sounds very
but
wrong.
Anyway. Dude, but I feel you were the... You were the right influence in my life in many aspects, you know, in terms of like work. I think it did rub off on me. Like I started working a little bit longer, a little bit harder.
You got more stamina.
Yeah, you know, I love basketball. So there is this guy who won the MVP last year. His name is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Throw in a basketball reference just like that. We're all going to get used to this one day.
Yeah, it's a big part of the Ranveer show. By the way, check out our basketball episode, one of the best episodes we've done. But Giannis said when he won his MVP that every year, I think that my career journey is going to get easier because now I've trained to the extent where it's all automatic. And then every year I realize, no, wait, I have to add this skill as well. I have to add that skill as well. And it keeps getting tougher. So right. I feel that founders, leaders of groups, YouTubers, constantly need to challenge themselves every year. And if you feel like you're done with those career challenges, it's these personal life challenges, like how Virat Sheth challenged his own private parts to, you know, level up.
That, you know, why not? Just, you know, let's ask our dicks to shut up for a bit. You know, let them not do the thinking. So anyway, yeah, I mean, how, if you were to ask me how, you know, I built the habit of, you know, constantly not, yeah, you know, thinking about sex or constantly thinking of the urges. My best recommendation again for anything, like this is like meditation in a way, right? Like in meditation, you don't block your thoughts. You let all your thoughts come through you and you defend them. So that's what I did with these things, right? I let these thoughts pass through, and every time I realize...
What do you mean defend them?
You don't block these thoughts. Like you just let them through. That, okay, cool, if I am getting a sexual urge or whatever, I will hold that in. I will not constantly just try to like distract myself. I will hold that in. I will breathe in, breathe out. I will accept it and I will move on. I will not, you know, act upon it. So that's what I did initially. During the times when it got too difficult, what I just did is, because whenever you're feeling a sexual urge, there is a surge in your testosterone, right? I don't know if that's scientifically correct. Cut me there if I'm wrong. So what I do is I just instead pick up a dumbbell or do just 15 push-ups right there. And that gives me a different sort of kick that, say, you know, an orgasm would also provide. So I'm using that surge in testosterone to divert it to a useful action.
Yeah, I don't think it's a surge in testosterone as much as it's a surge in just your physical energy.
Okay.
Like, this is something actually that Vivek Bindra and me discussed on that podcast, where he said that every time you're feeling it, it's an excess amount of energy in your mind, mental energy. So ideally, you should channel it into something creative. Like, yeah, like writing or, you know, creating YouTube videos or whatever. But also, you can kind of channelize it into physical activity. That's how you kind of drain yourself.
Got it. Another aspect of me trying to inhabit this, you know, habit in my life was I was reading this book called Atomic Habits, okay? And there's a very interesting thing that the author says there, that if you really want to change a habit, so the book is basically all about creating new habits in your life and how good habits can really transform your life in an exponential manner, and bad habits can really take you down the slippery slope. So what he says is that if you really want to change your habits and, you know, develop good habits like reading or working out or things like that, don't look at it from an outcome perspective, but look at it from an identity perspective. What that means is, when you're looking at outcomes, right, to set out habits, you're thinking that, okay, I want to be the bulkiest guy there is. I want to, you know, win that championship. I want to lose weight. I want to read like 500 books in a year, for example. But you are putting an outcome and a goal to that. Because of that, because the last task is so difficult, your consistency towards that habit does not stay. you know, you will start out with all your energy that, yeah, I'm going to read 500 books on the 1st of January. You pledge that, but you don't end up following that. Instead, what you need to do is you need to make it a part of your identity. Say that I am a reader. Say that I am a fit person. Say that I am an achiever. And when that happens, you will do actions or you will take actions which suit your personality and align with your personality. Here's a very good example where if you have two people who are both smokers and are both in the process of quitting smoking, one of the guys you offer says that, no thanks, I'm trying to quit. And the other guy you offer says that, no thanks, I'm not a smoker. Now, that's both are trying to quit, but the second person has made that a part of his identity, that I don't smoke at all. That phase of my life is beyond me. Whereas the other guy is thinking that, you know, I'm trying to quit. When you put that thought in mind, there is a chance that you will slip sometime, that you will actually, you know, take that one drag or two drag thinking that, you know, it's fine. It's just two drags. So that is a very important aspect.
So we actually have this friend called Shalini Sarina, who's guided us a lot through our startup life. And she actually focuses on this habit of selecting your words very carefully, like the ways you describe yourself, the way you introduce yourself, the words you choose to have in conversation. They can really create a certain amount of self-identity. And that's actually something I'm trying. That's one of the habits I'm trying to absorb into my life now, where I'm talking even more positively. For example, in the lockdown situation, when we are addressing someone, you know how you start off with, I hope you're well.
Right.
So hope is kind of an empty word. And she taught me to start saying, I trust you're well.
It's more affirmative, right?
Yeah, it's more affirmative. And you actually, you know, it sounds very stupid, but when you start applying these concepts, you really see your perception of the world becoming more positive. So instead of... And you know, I feel I'm a very positive dude. Even saying I hope you're well is positive. But she's like, no, take it to that highly positive degree. So that puts into perspective the people who constantly say negative things out loud about life is meaningless. You know, oh God, I think we're so f***ed.
Yeah, I don't know what's even true, what's even real. I'm not sure. Why do we even exist? Sure, I mean, you can ask those questions. I only feel that, you know, try having those answers eventually, because it's like, what the purpose of life is to keep yourself happy and to keep others happy. I just think, you know, let's not complicate things. At the end, it is to spread smiles, to enjoy it while you're at it. It is, I truly feel life is a wonderful gift, man. And I don't want to be one of those toxic positivity guys that, oh, it's such a happy day today. And you know, it's,
I wonder who you're speaking of.
I don't know, but he's probably having a conversation with me, is it? So, yeah, I don't mean to be like, you don't have to be happy all the time. You need to be happy through your life, which is not that every second of your life, oh, have a smile on your face. No, feel all your emotions. That's all right. That's not going to be an issue. But know that eventually each problem that you face, there will always be a solution, or at least 3 months down the line, you will be in a position where you'll be laughing at that problem.
Yeah.
So that's very true, right? Like, your thoughts turn into words and your words turn into actions. And we define that is what we call by manifestation, right? When you say that, okay, I am an achiever or I will win this trophy, you are putting your thoughts out in the right direction so that your actions can follow with that. So that's how it is, man.
So I wanna bring the conversation back to NoFap in a bit, and just generally habits and how they've kind of affected the outcome of situations. But first, I just wanna remind you of that one vacation that I think you, me, Rajas and Neil Katarnaure had in Punjab, like outside Chandigarh. There's a place called Moksha, which honestly is a pretty expensive,
pretty fancy
kind of. Pretty fancy resort that we had visited, and we hadn't spent our own money. It was a gift.
It was a gift in a way.
It was a gift from our sponsors, who also kind of act as mentors in our life. A particular group of guys who were just like, you know, you're a young businessman. This is our way of paying it forward. They're slightly older than us.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember that one weekend we spent there. We had a great meal. We went out to the courtyard of that hotel, And the four of us were just staring at the city of Chandigarh. We were looking at the sky full of stars. We were sitting next to this heated swimming pool on those like swimming pool chairs. And we were just like, wow, dude, this is what we worked for.
Thank God for this life.
Yeah, like, thank God we didn't go down that regular path. Thank God we took up this path of entrepreneurship. And no matter how difficult and challenging it is, for moments like this, it's all worth it. And I remember you kind of shutting up there completely. And you were just like, dude, if this is what we will receive from the world, I'm ready to work that hard all my life. I'm ready to challenge myself all my life. So that's the outcome of the habitual life.
Man, honestly, it came also from a space where I've, through my life, have been from a middle-class family, right? And I don't mean to go down that pity road. Initially, we were quite well-to-do as a family, and that there were some issues that we faced as a family during the 2008 crisis and from there on. So it was very difficult as a family for us to, you know, even spend on, for me to go to field trips and things like that. And this level of, you know, luxury that we saw in Parvanu, it was like, I was spellbound, man. I was like, thank God for this. And we've only worked like 2 years or whatever. And this is the level of luxury we are receiving. I made a promise to myself that, you know, I will not let people down who are in my team or the clients that I have. Just because because of the gifts that we are receiving, man. That is crazy. I was too grateful that day. And I hold that promise to this day to myself, and I will do so in the future as well, where I will always ensure that the people around us are, you know, well-fed, well-treated. The clients are well-serviced. And that's my return gift to the world.
Yeah, that's why you're able to put pressure on yourself to change your personal life up so easy to maximize your potential. I want to ask you, dude, like, most media entrepreneurs also who we meet are pretty into like pot. Pretty into like alcohol. Honestly, I was as well before you came into my life. And then I think you coming into my life kind of cleaned that up for me as well.
Right.
So how have you been able to stay away from partying? I know you partied in college. I know you've consumed substances in college, but now in your life, dude, you literally don't have a nasha in your life. And I can vouch for you, you're a straight edge guy like CM Punk.
Yeah.
I've also kind of reached that stage in my own life because of your influence rubbing off on me. So what is going on in your head? How are you enjoying your life?
Man, honestly, yes. One of the things, again, like I said, is I've made that part of my identity, right? So every time someone offers me alcohol, and you know how it works in all parties, right? We either have friends who are into it, or who are, you know, just into drinks and things like that. And at media parties, you just cannot miss it. Like, that's part of the tradition, right? No matter what, the biggest platforms hosted and there's some sort of like alcohol involved. Just as a mixer, you know, that's how things work in the adult life. And I've realized that I've made that part of my identity. I don't need alcohol or, you know, weed or any of these intoxicants in my life because I don't necessarily enjoy them. I mean, sure, you do it in your college life to experiment. And I honestly feel that in life, you should always experiment things once so that you know what is exactly that you want to do and what is exactly what you don't want to do. So I knew that that was not my calling at all. And honestly, I come from a very traditional Gujarati family as well. And this has never been passed down into our, you know, family. So I'm glad that I'm following that path. And, you know, I've come to realize a lot of things, some through my own experiences, some through the teachings that have been passed on through my family. And I'm glad that I don't need any of these intoxicants in life. I don't judge or, you know, slander anyone who does experience it or who does go through it. I mean, if that works for them, that's all right. But personally, my kick is always when that one invoice hits in, or when that one sort of concept closes, or when that one source of business stream is opened, or when we hire like one more person and, you know, he or she gets to feed their family. And again, I don't mean to sound very holier than thou, but the kick that these things give you, right? And, you know, when we win a specific award, and I know that you shouldn't, you know, be looking for external validation and things like that. But things like these really, you know, validate your choices you made 2-3 years back. You know, when I quit that job to join in on your ship, and you were like, and you were also like, taking a shot in the open, right? But I was like, cool, let's join hands and let's figure how this can work out. So those are what, those are the memories that recollect in front of me. And I'm like, I'm so glad we took those decisions, man, that we are able to enjoy at, 3 p.m. on a Wednesday. I'm not doing some job that I don't like. I'm instead recording some content with you, which is actually reaching out to millions of people. And I hope it does some good to the youth through that. So, and that's probably the life I wanted to live. So I'm glad those choices led me to a life that I have always wished for. So that is the high.
Yeah, that's the power of habits, man. And, I've been on both sides of that battle. I've been from a family that enjoys its partying. So I've really partied hard in my life. Like, I've thrown up in front of my parents multiple times because of drinking too much.
Man.
things like that have happened. And I've switched over to this side of the game, which is a very monk kind of life. While it is slightly weird for them to accept, what I will tell young people watching this who are right now listening to this, watching this and thinking that, should I be challenging myself? I feel you totally should be challenging yourself in terms of quitting certain habits that you know internally are bad. I'll tell you why. It makes your mental willpower like really high, but it also makes you extremely sharp and focused. If you're a meditator, it makes your meditations go like way deeper. And through those deep meditations, that's where you actually gain the benefits more easily. So for example, if you meditate for 3 years with all these habits in your life, you will gain benefits of meditation. But when you actually start plucking out those bad habits from your life, you'll see that each of those meditations is deeper. And in deeper...
Amplify it a lot.
Yeah,
more.
Exactly. In those deeper meditations is where you'll actually see the real benefits you read of, like a calmer state of mind, higher levels of mental focus, lesser sleep quotas. You'll be able to, get away with 5-6 hours of sleep. It takes some time to get there, but select a few small habits that you know are not adding up to your long-term happiness and try cutting them off gradually. Which also brings me to the next aspect of this NoFap themed conversation, which is that, dude, 200 days of NoFap, like, what has it done for your mind? Okay. You explained how you've gotten here, that you've challenged yourself in mini situations, you failed, but then still attempted the challenge again. So now you've gone on for 200 days without letting go of your Viraj, your semen.
Viraj, yeah.
So how has your semen contributed to your mind or your daily life as an entrepreneur?
So a bunch of things. To start with, I just seem to have a lot more time in hand. Usually how we always have that answer that, oh, do you want to work out? Why don't you start working out? Oh man, I just don't have the time to do it. It's usually not the time, it's also the energy. It's like you don't want to devote your energy to a hardcore physical activity like that. Now that I'm not, for example, watching porn or, spending my time with tissue papers and my phone and some lotion, I know that I can use that time to just wake up and get some push-ups, I've installed a pull-up bar right outside my room. Directly jump into that zone and flow state of working out. So it's become part of my identity that, usually how we wake up and a lot of people, they engage in this activity either before going to sleep or right after either waking up or taking a shower and things like that. So I have eliminated those possibilities at the root itself. That if I'm going to have a shower or whatever, I will not take my phone with me, for example. That's at least the first step of you trying to inculcate that activity, right? Or the moment I wake up, I will not check my phone. I will just, drink a glass of water or whatever it is and get to working out, for example. And especially in the lockdown, you have the time to do that. You don't have to rush to work. You can wake up, you still have the liberty of waking up at the time you want to, in some cases. So I just used that to my advantage and, I kept going. So that was one thing that my physical fitness has really gone up. I also posted a photo on my Instagram, which the reason I'm pointing out to that is, okay, my biceps or whatever seem like a little grown out because I'm wearing a t-shirt and I flex a little bit in it. But more than that, a lot of people are noticing that. All my life I've been very skinny. And suddenly when I put up a post or put up a photo like that, people start thinking, wait, what the hell happened? Why does there seem to be like a sort of a transformation? Why is your face looking a lot more glowed up? Things like that. So that's another thing, right? Women really notice things like these. You know, there's this whole theory about how, you know, when you practice NoFap and things like that, women are attracted to you, all of that stuff, right? It is pitched like an Axe effect sort of a thing. Like this, they're just showing NoFap as, oh, it's an Axe deodorant. The moment you start applying it, women will get attracted towards you. No, that's not the case. What will happen is women really, either it's that intuition or just that sense of observation that they have, they can really spot these things. Your dark circles really stop, coming through. They start going away because you seem less tired. You're doing more things that are helping your body. So your face just naturally starts glowing up a lot. So those are the things that they notice. One of my friends, one of these days, when I was practicing this before lockdown, said to me that, what's happening, dude? You just seem less tired and your face is glowing up. Are you doing something in specific? And I mean, I didn't like let it out. I was just like, yeah, no, I just started working out. So that's another thing, right?
Hey, bas hila raha nahi hai, bhai.
Hila raha nahi hai, bhai. Kuch nikal raha nahi hai. I was like, no. I mean, I kept it very like, whatever, civil. So I was like, yeah, that's what's happening. And beyond that, you just like to put, I've started writing a lot. So that whole creative process that awakens in you, I started writing a few articles, started writing a bunch of LinkedIn posts, tweets, things like that. And that has resulted in, my following sort of growing on social media, me having a distinct voice, people resonating with things like that, and me building more content. So that's, in all, it's helping in my career growth and also with the company itself, right? More people are recognizing what Monk Entertainment does because we are putting out content on the page. And before, I wasn't in the sort of right capabilities to do that. I don't know what reason is exactly devoted to it, but I believe that one of the reasons is because I was just so tired in life, so exhausted all the time. And I would recommend practicing NoFap for that very reason. Just go and I don't want to quote about any of the scientific spiritual benefits to it. Just do it to see it for yourself that you will actually see an experience. This is one of those things like, a debate between vegetarianism or non-vegetarianism, right? Whatever your personal beliefs are, you will stick to that. You can't always convince people to do it. So practice it yourself and see the changes for yourself. And then you will realize, okay, this is probably the way to go for me.
What do you think is next in terms of habit formation? Like, what after NoFap? Are you going to keep being on NoFap for life? What are you thinking?
No, man, honestly, I don't think it's going to go on for life because at some point I will find a partner. That's the dream.
You'll explode. There'll just be Viraj all over the wall.
You've seen those memes, dude. One recommendation I have, guys, whether or not you do the NoFap, the whole journey, you should join the NoFap community on Reddit. It is the most inspiring and funny community there is because you'll see a lot of these stories, dude. This is one story I read of a guy who's like, it was so moving. I was like, I was reading it and he's like, dude, I am doing this movement for my future wife so that I can please her. I am not, a porn addict and things like that. So I can, satisfy her and, things like that. And I'm like, wow, dude, who... Like, kaun sochta hai itna matlab, right? Like, people our age, no one thinks that far. They usually do it ki, haan, I'll do it for myself. I'll do it for my own growth. Yeah. And this guy's thinking that far. And then I think people in that community are called Fapstronauts. Okay? And just the memes on that community, right? So you should follow that page if you have urges of, jacking off or whatever. That page purely motivates you through memes and personal stories of why you should not like masturbate. So the goal is not to go on forever. See, I did this as an experiment, so I'm not going to, I don't know, I haven't planned for the future. What I do know is from my personality, I have taken that bit out, that okay, I don't consciously think about porn or I don't consciously think about jacking off, in saying that this is a practice for people who are at a bit of an advanced stage in life. If you are at a very primal stage where you're thinking about sex like every second of your life, and if you don't let your urges out, you may commit some sort of a heinous crime. do not like practice this. I would not recommend it. It's okay, let one out. Thoda kar do, baha do thoda, it's okay. But the goal is like, you should not be harming another individual because you've like kept up all these pent up emotions in yourself and you're going out, you know, you're catcalling girls and you're staring at them and shit like that. So that should definitely not be an outcome of this journey. This journey, you should tread on this path only if you want to. I feel a lot more grounded, you know. I just feel more calm. I feel more focused. So that was my outcome out of this. If you are feeling like really restless all times, it's okay, just let one out. You don't have to be on this journey from the get-go. Like I said, it's okay if you know, if you're masturbating 3 times a day, move on to maybe once a day. Move on to then, you know, once in 3 days. Take it as a gradual step.
Yeah. Which is also where I want to add something I learned from the Vivek Bindra podcast. I asked him about, okay, NoFap is great, celibacy is great, but what happens after marriage when you're supposed to have sex? Are you supposed to not ejaculate there? And he said that as long as your ejaculation and the process of sex is fueled by love, it automatically kind of has its own spiritual impact on your existence, that whole process. So sex where it's just for the physical aspect of it, for pleasure, is tamasic, is negative.
Yeah.
But sex within the realms of marriage, within the realms of infinite love that exists within a marriage, it actually makes you closer to your partner and makes both of you spiritually grow.
Absolutely.
And also, there is this concept in yoga of, I don't know what it's called, but it's basically it divides your life into 4 stages. So your initial stage is where you're learning. That's before the age of 25, where you're preparing for the world. The stage after that is where you're a family...
Householder,
yeah. So in the householder stage, the rules kind of change when it comes to semen, when it comes to spiritual growth. You grow through providing for your family. But if you're under the age of 25, NoFap, semen retention, holding your viraj in as much as you can, all that.
We'll have to check on that. I'm not too sure if, I think this guy is just like pulling it off, and I've never really Googled if viraj actually means semen, but sure, I'll play along.
Yeah. So when you're in that pre 25 years old phase of your life, hold in your viraj, sons. That's what I have to
hold
say.
Hold it in, man. So, yep. So, I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, when you are in that householder phase, right, a lot of your duties change because you're not just, you're not doing it solo now. You're not playing a tennis match. You're playing like a football match or whatever, you know, you have partnership, basically. I don't think that landed well, but yeah, you're not playing a singles match. You're playing a doubles match, you know, because you have your partner, you have your family to fend for. So there are certain duties that are required of you. And I mean, reproduction is, I don't think it's mandatory anymore, but it is one of the things that people look at as building their own legacy or, you know, having a family and, you know, breeding and feeding the family is one of the duties that people look forward to. So, I mean, to each their own. We have a few friends who do plan to live the whole, you know, bachelor life and not in a good sense, like not go out just, you know, like hunting and shit like that. But living in a very like sadhu lifestyle, not getting married, staying focused to bigger goals that they might have, you know, doing better for the planet, doing better for the communities around them. And it's like you have to pick your battles. Me personally, I definitely feel like I'm one of those guys who wants to get married, who wants to build a family. And so I don't think for that to happen, I can't retain my viraj in viraj. I will have to let it out.
Nice.
Unless we believe one of those you know, thoughts where as a kid I thought that, you know, people get pregnant just because God wants them to be. as soon as you get married, mummy ke pet mein ek bachcha aa jata hai and God sends that through. So unless that miracle is happening, I don't think it's possible.
Nice. And the final question of this podcast is, dude, like today, now, do you feel any kind of urge still? Like, what happens at day 200 versus day 7? Because I just want to put things into perspective for the audience.
So, there still are certain urges, but they're not as frequent as they would be at a day 7, you know. Because right now you just made it part of your own process that this is not like the kind of distractions you have in life to get towards that urge, you know. I mean, all of social media is in today's time super like hypersexual. We live in super and hypersexual times, right? The kind of content there is out there, there are so many like inclinations for people to just go out and jerk off, you know, and just to satisfy their need. Because we live in really fast times. We live in times of instant gratification. Porn is so easily accessible, man. So once you consciously, you know, let that thought out of your mind that, okay, the goal is always to, you know, just, you know, jerk off. Like, okay, I have one quota a day, I will use it now. So when you consciously stop thinking of it as a part of you, you will not feel those urges very internally. You will, and I'm not saying you will suppress them, you will just not feel them. You will automatically, it'll be second nature for you to drive that urge to something else. To start writing creatively, you will automatically pick up the pen or pick up your laptop and start writing. If you are a writer or if you are in a content space, or pick up the dumbbell, move your energies to something that is more productive to you as a person. So that is what's happening at day 200. You don't consciously think, oh cool, ab jaake we'll have to let one out. Ab jaake bathroom mein phone leke lotion leke jana hai. So I think that is the major difference. It makes you way calmer. You know, and I will only speak for myself here, but a lot of my, wouldn't say anxiety per se, but a lot of my, you know, fears that I was facing, I've been able to take on the world more head on, you know, because I've just, you know, had that willpower. I've built that willpower within myself. That if I can do this, if I can control my most primal urge and, you know, divert it to more productive things, I can take on anything in this world. So more than that, that's a very indirect effect that you face as a person. So for that, again, I would recommend these are the reasons why I would recommend beyond what spiritually and scientifically they talk about.
And just to clarify, you're not in that position where if a girl touches you, you'll like let out all your viraj, right? Like you'll just be like, oh my god, can't. You're not in that mental position.
No, man. I mean, so yeah, that's not going to happen. The moment I see a girl or the moment someone touches me, I'm just going to like, you know, there's going to be a flood in my pants. No, that's not going to happen. In fact, you're
Are you wearing pants right now?
No, I'm naked down below, man. Which is why my angle
just to keep it cool.
Here. Yeah, just to keep it cool. I mean, we're at home, man. Like, come on. Who's wearing pants at home? So that's the process. I mean, I just don't feel there's going to be like a storm or a flood right at the outset. In fact, when it comes to, interacting with women as well, I've heard a lot of people say that it makes them more confident when they're speaking to women. Why I'll tell you is, because the kind of society we've, you know, grown up in and the kind of times we've grown up in, it's a way in which like women have always been sexualized, okay? And, you know, even when you're growing up, the kind of content that, you know, we're fed, the kind of times we live in, the surroundings we live in, things like that, it's always that you treat the other sex, the opposite sex, as, oh cool, like as I want to mate with each one of them or whatever, I have to look at them sexually. You start looking at them as a human more, where you will not sexualize everything you see in the opposite person. Your brain will start thinking, oh wait, let me have a conversation, let me speak and let me connect with that person first, instead of thinking, oh titties. No, that will stop happening. And honestly, I'm not saying that, you know, you will completely become asexual or none of that, or you will not want to engage in sex or coitus. What will happen is you will connect more on a deeper and human level with the opposite person. And that is what I think is the need of the hour for all of us, man. We need to be kinder. We need to be more non-sexual in this hyper-sexual environment. When interacting with people, that's about it.
Yeah. Something I've noticed when I'm with Sarvesh, Shashi, or you, or myself also, when I'm on one of my long NoFap streaks, which is that exactly what you said, that's what happens. And ladies, as well as just everyone around you, picks up on that this person has a different vibe about the outside world. Anyway, Mr. Seaman Sheth, I'm sorry, Viraj Sheth, thank you for being on the Ranveer Show.
I'm rethinking if that's a cool name. No, it's not. Thanks so much. Good chat, man.
Okay, keep going. Keep fighting your, internal battles.
Okay, I just want to know anyone. Okay, I also tell you one more last cool thing that Reddit NoFap has, right? They have a counter inbuilt on the forum. So what happens is the moment they have a username system on Reddit, right? So if you are on the NoFap community, next to your username, you get the number of days that person has been on NoFap. Right? That is crazy cool. So I just want to know, man, if any of you guys are on the NoFap journey, mention in the comments what has been the number of days you are at right now, or if you've ever had an experience of this whole journey, what have you faced, what are the changes you've seen in your life, and let's chat about it, man. I'll drop in some comments as well.
Nice. I wonder how Reddit tracks that. Do you think they have like an intern sitting in everyone's bathroom saying,
It's you have, yeah. Yeah, they place a camera in every one of these profiles' house. Yeah, that's how they do it.
Cool, Mr. Seaman. We will see you later on the Ranveer Show. Thank you for all that semen retention gyan.
Hold it in, guys. Hold it in. Don't buy any more lotion. Buy sanitizers.
I'm sure your future wife will be thanking you a ton for your past experiences.
Let's hope so.
See you.
See you.